Water, KLC. Amen.
Brother Josh, you don't mind raising me up here a little bit that I can hear myself? Thank you.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Strength, my shield, to you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Oh, you're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. For you strength, my shield, to you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
I want you more.
Oh, I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. Strength, my shield, to you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship.
Let's sing that chorus again as Brother Michael gets ready to come for his special.
For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
I was weak and weary, and I had gone astray, walking in the darkness. I could not find the way, but then a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, and I was free from care. I found the answer. Amen. And I learned to pray with faith to guide me. I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer, and I learned to pray. Keep your Bible with you. Read it every day. Always count your blessings. Always stop and pray. Learn to keep believing, and faith will see you through. Seek to know contentment, and it will come to you. I found the answer, and I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer, and I learned to pray. I found the answer, and I learned to pray.
Thank you, Mike. Could have went another verse. It was just getting good. It was good. That was good. Appreciate that. Amen. Simple, but to the point. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thomas, you want to help us take up our offering?
Yes, pray. Dear Lord, will please bless the tithes and offerings. Will please bless both the day and both the wedding. All the day is well.
Will please bless all the truth, but everybody else. Amen, pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Let's just sing this song. There's a river of life flowing out of me.
There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of spring up overwhelming with my soul. Spring up overwhelmed and make me whole. Spring up overwhelmed and give to me that life abundantly. Sing it again out to him. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. This is the day, oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord had made. Sing it again. This is the day. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord had. Sing this one, glad day. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. Let's stand to our feet. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. Was a glad day when I was born again. Sing out again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them, pray Lord. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Makes a lane to walk and the believe that there's a river of life where? Flowing out of you.
Sets the captive free.
Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me.
Praise. He's worthy. He's the one that put that river of life inside of you. The devil sure don't want a river of life inside of you. But praise God, he put one inside of us. The glad day that we were born again. He put a river. He told that lady at the well, he said, you drink of this water. He said, you'll never thirst. He said, this water, you'll never run dry. She said, sir, give me of that water. And guess what he did? He gave it to her. So all we got to do is ask and he'll give it to us. Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you with us. Just make these announcements real quick and we'll get started. We got communion today and foot washing. So just keep that in your prayer. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. The coming 18th, that will be a couple of Saturdays from now. That'll be the youth service. Brother Jack Duff will be with us at 3:00. And then we'll have a meal afterwards, probably pizza or something like that. We'll work on that when June gets back. We'll have one service on the 19th. That would be Sunday at normal, regular time, regular service. All right? Just remember that. Also remember March the 24th. Some of us are going to the wedding over in Beaufort. That'll be Friday and Saturday. But we'll be back on the 25th. Brother Samuel Reyes will be speaking for us on the 26th. Spoke to him this morning going through a little rough time, rough spot. But you know what? God's proud of him. God allowed that to happen so that his character, same way with me and you, he allows these things to happen so our character can be made manifest. And we can see, what if we didn't know what to work on? He gives us that for us to realize what we need to work on, what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. To me, that's his plan. He planned to do that because he knew we'd need it. And so we need to just take that plan and use it. And looking forward, Brother Dutch Scott will be here on East on Good Friday. That'll be a 7 o'clock service. April the 8th will be a Saturday service. We'll probably have a fellowship meeting. I'm going to call Brother Homer. We had this same thing last year, but at that same time, I'll call Brother Homer and see if they want to do that. And then on the, that'll be the 8th, Brother Chris Long on the 9th. He'll be here also with us one service. So just keep that in your prayer. And then we got other stuff coming, but we'll be announcing that later on. We sure miss everybody that's not here. We're praying for them, Sister Esther Smallwood, different ones. Lord, they just don't ever miss. You know, they're here even when they're sick, and we sure miss them. And if they're not here, they're sick. Amen. Yeah, they can't say that to all of us, but if they're sick and they're not here. But it's a fight. You have to fight your way. You have to fight your way here, and you fight your way back. Isn't that right, Sister Rebecca? I heard you say that. She said, it is. It's a fight. It's a struggle. But you know what? I'd rather do that and gain eternal life than to lose my soul and go to hell. Amen. All right? Gain the whole world, but lose my soul. Brother Luis, you know, it's 10,000 worlds. To me, that's an awesome statement when it took a prophet to be able to go back in the mind of God to even know there was 10,000 worlds. But your soul is worth 10,000 worlds. 10,000 of these. Oh, we think it's great because of Bezos and Amazon and all those people like that. If they're not born again, they'll just vaporize into nothing. Their money, their bank account, their I saw where somebody the other day with Bill Gates, over $100 billion now he was worth. I can't fathom that. I could spend it, but I couldn't fathom that. But without God, you got way more than he does. Way more, 10,000 worlds worth than he does. But the people like that, they're put on this world to prove one thing's for sure. God's in control of this whole thing. And if you don't do what God says, then it doesn't matter if you're rich. Because even Jesus, he loved that rich guy. He loved that rich young ruler. He loved him. He said, man, come on. Rich young ruler couldn't give. And then Jesus turned around and said, it's really hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven because he'll always fall to his riches first. And depend on that when you depend on God. If you depend on God with $0, I'd rather do that than depend on myself with $10 billion. All right? Everybody with me on that? That's what we got to look at. We got to see that God's in control. He's the one that's doing it. And we're just going to have to let go and let God. All right? So let's bow our heads. I know we all have things on our heart that we need to pray about. And we appreciate each and every one of you being here. And we love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for all the support that you've given us and the support that you give the church and the cleaning of the church and getting everything, keeping everything up. And we're working on a few other things to do. And we just want to be ever in the will of God, not in the will of ourselves. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Lord, we now know that you are in control. As the song says, you've got it all in control. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us in the furtherment of this service. You take control. You speak to the people. You go down their aisle, Lord. You get into their life, Father, not me. You, Lord, teach them how to live better, Lord, how to be a better Christian. Lord, teach them how to pray. Teach them how to seek you, Father. Lord, just be with us now as we pray, Lord, for the sick and the afflicted, Lord, the ones that are not with us and the ones that are here today. We pray that you would give them a supernatural touch, Lord. Be with us, Lord, in the furtherment of this service. We give it all to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. What kind of Word is it? It's a living Word. Not a dead Word, not a dead letter. It's a living Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can be seated, and the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. We're going to try to get to temperance and patience. We'll try to get to that. Sorry, I probably preached a little bit this morning, but I think we'll just kind of drop back and teach a little bit this afternoon, slow down a little bit. So if that's all right with you. Amen. In your patience, possess ye your souls. When we get to patience, you're going to have to see that patience. Brother Brown, what did he say the first thing we had to have patience with? Not our neighbor, not our somebody sitting beside you in church. He said have patience with God. So you got to have patience with God that he'll do what he said he will do. All right, so that's what we've got to do, because I'll read you a quote where Brother Brown said, if you go out beyond the program of God, you're just going to heap up on the side of the road. He says, scrap heaps of ministers that go out past the program of God, and we've seen it, you've seen it, we've all seen it. We've seen them take a message, and Brother Brown preached even, you know, like running without a message and all those things, and, you know, running from the presence of the Lord. You got to be in the right season at the right time. And you've got to catch the mind of God, and I believe that we have caught the mind of God, because we know what time that we're living in. We know what day. I don't say we. I say we, all of us sitting in here, that we know what is coming. We actually know who's going to do it. But we know where we're going. All right? Just as I said God knew everything from the beginning, he's now taught us from the beginning what it is that we're looking for. Where we come from, what we're doing here, and where we're going, all right? And to me, that's the, as Brother Dale's always said, the opening of the seals is knowing where you came from, what you're doing here, and where you're going. Well, that's the whole plan of redemption. Yeah. The full plan, not just to get your soul redeemed. The soul redeemed started on the day of Pentecost. That's, and don't get me wrong, but that's a 2,000-year-old doctrine. That's a 2,000-year-old doctrine, all right? And it never gets any worse. It gets better. But add to your new birth. So we're going to add to that what happened on the day of Pentecost back 2,000 years ago in AD 30, back in that time where they were in the upper room. So we're going to add to that, because what happened to Peter? When Peter came out of that upper room, he was the spokesman. But remember, he didn't write 1 Peter and 2 Peter until a little bit later, because he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost until then. He didn't know how to get virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness. But then he realized what God was doing in his life. Same way with Brother Brandon. Brother Brandon was born again. I think he's back in the 20s, I think. He got the new birth back somewhere in that way. In his 20s, he said. He's born in 1909, I believe it was. But he didn't preach Statue of Perfect Man until 1960, whatever it was, 61, 62. Why? He hadn't come to that stage yet. He had to grow in grace and knowledge just like me and you have to grow in grace and knowledge. He had to come from a baby. Listen, you know what happened? Let me tell you what happened to Brother Branham. Remember his first sermon? He said, I preached. And remember, he preached and Hope, he was illiterate. Hope had to read the Bible. Hope read the scripture. And then he preached. Well, the first sermon he preached, you know, remember, he thought, man, this is good. I did a good job. Everybody enjoyed it. And he goes in the pastor's study, and the pastor, Dr. Davis, looked at him and he said, worst sermon I've ever heard. Right. Brother Brown said, what? But they cried. Yeah. What Dr. Davis say? They cry at funerals. Yeah. Right? So it wasn't an emotion. So, hey, you know what? That tells me if Brother Brown can bomb in his first sermon, so can we. So don't worry about when some of you get old, start preaching and you bomb. Don't worry. The prophet bombed his first sermon, all right? I'm sorry, that's what he said. I love it when Brother Branham, he's so honest. And honest to tell us his mistakes, and honest to tell us even what he was thinking that he didn't have to tell you and me. But praise God, what was in his mind came out of his mouth. Now, you and I may have a problem with that. But if you're a prophet and let God take control, it's all right. All right? So add to your new birth. So when Brother Branham got born again, he had to add to Brother Branham's new birth. Brother Branham had to take a walk through justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. As we were talking about this morning, water to the ankles, water to the knees, water to the loins, and then a river that you couldn't even, you had to swim in it. You had to learn how to swim. All right. Now, with the ankles, you don't have to learn how to swim. With the knees, you don't have to learn how to swim. Even at the loins, you can just walk through the water. But, buddy, when it gets up about 10 foot deep, you're going to either drown or learn how to swim, one of the two. All right. So we're going to learn how to swim in this Word of God. All right. Everybody with me? We're going to minister nourishment. Look, minister nourishment to each one of us. This ought to be the happiest time of our life to be able to sit in a congregation and hear the Word of God and be able to sing the words of God. The young adults were downstairs. Give them a hand clap. These young adults, I'm telling you, these young adults, I see too many sitting out there on the street corners doing their stuff, and they're enjoying it. But I walked in that room, and there was a song that had been playing on the radio that I enjoyed. It doesn't matter who's singing it. You've heard me say that before. I don't care who sings it. They're all lost if they ain't got the new birth, Toby Mac or anybody. But it's the anointing behind the words that's spoken. That's true. If they're singing about God, that's true. So this song, Jaira, I know you probably all, a lot of you, Maverick City News, or Maverick City, whatever it is, not news. I may be Maverick City News. What is it, Aaron? What is it? Anyway, so they sing it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they're getting together and they sing and they have a choir and they have this guy playing the organ and or the piano, and he's a black guy. And I come to find out, somebody says, well, he's a rapper. I don't care. The anointing to that song, saying that Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And they sing that song, and I walked in there and I told the young adults, I said, you've heard this song? And they said, yes. I said, I'd like for you to sing it, April, for the, well, y'all don't know this, but I try to voluntold. When you hear these songs up here, usually it's me asking them to do it, either getting Sister Christine and they're getting old now and cantankerous. They're not doing it anymore. So I went straight to the kids. I didn't say you, Sister Trudy. Oh, I'm sorry. But I told them, and I said, go tell the youth. So I walked in there, and I said, hey, guys, you heard this song? Yep. Laid it down, played it for them. They said, yep. Well, they could have sung it today. So much talent. And a 9-year-old kid was leading them. Zoe? Be led by a child. I'm sorry, she's 10. Lord, mercy, forgive me. Goodness gracious. But they jumped right in. What are you saying? These youth, they get into that anointing, and they know how to use it. So I appreciate them singing those songs like that. And I said, you don't take it by that anointing out there. You take it by your anointing, and you sing it to the people. And if you sing it by that anointing, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it'll always turn out right. Always turn out right. So, man, they practiced just a few times, and they was comfortable with singing it. So, I thank God that we've got a group of people that'll come together and sing those songs. Because I believe God's in song too, you know. All right? Now let's jump through this. Let's jump through this real quick. So what was the fourth thing? The fourth part of life is what? The Word. We looked at the dry bones. We looked at the going into the water. I'm going to try to get to these virtues, if you don't mind. So what is it? It's that Holy Ghost bunch, us people, being honed out so that it can fit the same kind of ministry he had when he went away. That when he comes back, it'll catch the whole thing. Who's the whole thing? I'm looking at the whole thing. It's not going to rapture cars and airplanes, and it's not going to rapture your message book either. Amen. It's not going to rapture your computer. It's going to rapture human beings that are born again by the breath of God, that have took the Word of God. And then there's going to be a group inside of a group. Come on, somebody. There's going to be a group. Brother Brown said there's been brides, churches, brides. He said, but they'll come one. This is the one. There's not another one. We didn't have a We didn't have a preview of the bride and then a second preview of the bride and then a third preview of the bride and then a fourth. No. Brother Brown said there was two previews. Alpha bride, Omega bride. The Omega bride got out of line. It took a prophet to get her back in line. Well, you know what? I believe we're back in line. I just believe we're back in line. So if we're back in line, then this can happen. It'll catch the whole thing in the rapture with the justified, sanctified baptism of the Holy Ghost. That pyramid will stand again. The house of God will live again. The tree of life. Where is that tree of life? It's inside of you. Brother Brown said Christianity versus idolatry. Look, he says we are made partakers of his holiness. We in his image, we are living images of a living God. He don't want dead people. He wants live people. He wants you dead to yourself. Look, then dead to self, raised with him. Now listen, his word made flesh again in us, oh Brother Neville. Look, what is it? Not the mythical, imaginary God sitting out there, but the living God. What is the living God? There's your answer. The word in you makes it real. Whew. Glory to God. Oh, I know you think I'm a holy roller. Maybe I am. Maybe I thought I hollered a little bit too much this morning. But you know what? Get used to it. But, oh, brother, do you see it? Triumph over every denomination. Triumph over all paganism. And I'm going to say over all your issues. Right. Over all your problems. Amen. He will help you. Because, look, the word of God, which is God, is made flesh in you. Because look, the word of God and the word of the devil, like I said before, you take a high priest, that high priest could only take the confession of the people back before God. Same way with God. And Jesus Christ being our mediator, there's not three different gods, but it's a position. Did not Jesus pray? He said, Father, I pray that as you and I are one, that the bride and me are one. Amen? So we've had that prayer prayed over us in John 17. We've had that he wouldn't take you out of the world. Right. Lord, I'm not praying to take them out of the world. In other words, I don't want them to just have a flowery bed of ease. Right. I want them to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen. Lord, he said, Father, protect them. So where's our protection come from? Our protection comes from our Father. Every one of you that are fathers, you are the protector. You're your daughter's Holy Ghost until she gets it. In the natural form. And the word of God, which is God, is made flesh in you. Why? You're seated in heavenly places. Triumph over all things in Christ Jesus. That's why I was telling them when they were singing. You raise yourself up into a heavenly atmosphere. They may sing it and be a bunch of prostitutes and be a bunch of whoremongers. But that song's anointed. And when we catch the true anointing of that, guess what? That's what God wanted to start with. That's what puts us in heavenly places. That's what puts me to be able to listen to that song and not have to worry about the past life of whoever's singing it. But I want them to sing it. I want to hear it from their voice. I want to hear it from somebody that knows who Jehovah Jireh is. That knows he's your provider. All right, I'm preaching now. Stop. Tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time? Right now. We are now sons and daughters of God. We're not going to be. When was there ever a time in history? Listen, we talk about Lincoln and we talk about Washington and we talk about all these great people that we read about in history. They're going to all, if they're not born again, they're going to vanish. They're not even going to be in your memory. But there'll be a William Branham in your memory. There'll be a Ron Spencer in your memory. There'll be a Donnie Reagan, a Samuel Dale, a Bob Black. That'll be in your memory. That'll be what this world is waiting on. It's not waiting on some great Jeff Bezos or some great somebody else. It's waiting on you. And your name's written in heaven. Your name's written in the palm of his hand. Amen. What is the time to deliver all nature? God, deliver my nature first. Deliver this guy. Waiting for the time of manifestation. Why, before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, in the Old Testament on down there couldn't have been manifestation. So who's making history? You and I today are making history. When we go through a testimony, when we go through and we get healed, or we get delivered from something, you're making history. You're making history that nobody else is going to make. Sure, Abraham Lincoln was a good president, but he'll never be anymore. I believe he was a Christian because Brother Ram said he was a Christian. So we'll get to see Abraham Lincoln. But if he's not born again, don't give me the presidency. Give me being the bride. That's the manifestation of God that he wants. He don't want you to be a good person. God has never wanted you to be a good person. There's a lot of good people that's going to be in hell. But he wants you to be him. He wants you to understand what he's saying. He wants you, like I said this morning, that deep part of you that calls. What's it calling for? It's calling for him to come here. Because the coming of the Lord is what? To the wall, to the recorder, the coming of the Lord is to be in you. The coming of the Lord is the revealing of his word. Is that, how many times have you heard that quote? Well, who's it being revealed to? The wall? You! It's being revealed to you. You're making history. Shaping up to a headstone to the manifestation of the sons of God coming back. And the Spirit of God coming into these men. Look, so perfectly. Until their ministry will be so close like Christ till they join him and his church together. How's that going to happen? Ephesians 4:12. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for what? Our perfection. For the perfecting of the saints. If you're a saint, then you're going to get perfected by that way and no other way. Or are you going to get perfected? Then we were talking about the two prophets. They're all waiting on us, folks. That whole anointing, that whole Malachi 4 anointing to them is waiting right here. That Revelation, what is it, 7 or so, where the two prophets go to Israel, is waiting right here. It's barred. There's no way it's going to go over there, Brother George, until we're out of the way. Until he, the bride, be taken out of the way. There's no way that Scripture's going to be fulfilled. We got to fulfill our part first. Listen, Luther fulfilled his part. God put him away. Wesley fulfilled his part. Put him away. They all had a part. Listen, they had a part in that plan I was talking about. This was God's method of achieving an end. How many of you heard Brother Dale say many, many times, he said, what is the coming of the Lord? What is the seventh seal? Brother Brown said, it's the end of all things. Well, it's none then. We're finished. There's nothing else. No, it's the end of the struggling world, he said. It's the end of this cosmos. It's the end of your issues. Whatever it is. Well, when we get over there, we'll get delivered from it. This is where we're going to get delivered from it. Or we are not going to get delivered from it. And whose choice is that? Oh, don't point at me. I got to point at myself. Look, watch. They uncover and open it up. He's talking about the sixth seal. So the sixth seal has got to, in the spiritual form, open with us on earth. Not in the natural form. It opens when the two witnesses appear to Israel, and the Gentile church has got to be gone. So, by that we know that the seals were open to the Gentiles, and that we're not here anymore. The raptures took place. Actually, the dead in Christ rose first, and then we'll be changed, so the body changed. There's glorified people walking all over the world, yes. Because why? Because they've captured, listen, man has tried to capture nature. Clouds, tornadoes, man has tried to figure out a way to control all that. Right. So what have they figured out now? They're controlling me and you by the things that we do or don't do. That COVID-19, you can believe whatever you want to. It was a control factor. Yeah. It was something to see how much you'll take and how much you'll not take. See how much you'll do and how much you'll not do. Because listen, we were talking about it yesterday. Me and somebody, we were talking at the the Baptist friend, this first cousin of ours. What one item I want to ask you something. What one item that you can ever think of since you were a kid till now, what one item took only about maybe 2 weeks to shut this whole world down? Oh, we've had E. coli over here. We've had the Spanish flu over here. We've had this that we hear that happens over here. We hear that this happened. We had some smallpox at one time. You know, and you had a group, but what, in 2 weeks, it spread all over the world. It was the demon, but it just spread all over the world in a matter of 2 weeks.
Right.
Control. Control. But what do we got to do? We'll get into patience in a minute. Because the Bible says in patience, like I said, possess you your soul. You've got to pull that thing down and say, hey, we got to believe God. We got to believe God for everything. We make mistakes. We got issues and problems. That's okay. We're going to have them until the day we get out of here. But we're going to have to know how to handle them. And you don't handle them by disappearing, do you, Brother George? Thank you. You do not have, and me too. I ran from this thing. I'm looking to all a bunch of people that run from God in their life.
Amen.
I got one amen and one, that's it. So the rest of y'all are saints. I'm preaching to these two right here. Me and these two right here are going to get it. Thank you very much. Go ahead. But it is. It's something we got to go through, but we're going to come out on the other side. But you can't be separated from God.
Amen.
That's Satan that wants to separate this thing. Let's continue on. Psalms 42, verse 7 says, deep calleth into the deep at the noise of thy waterspout. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. What happened, Brother Branham? He walks through the forest, and he looks down, and I see it on my route. I've got a place on my route that two springs come together, and they just come out of nowhere. I mean, it's just woods everywhere. It's right on the side of the road, right where the mailboxes are, basically. One up here, or one down here, and one up there. And you watch them, even if it's not rain to drop, back in the summertime. Here's this little bitty trickle of water running all the time. Now, buddy, if the last few weeks, it's been like a flood. But where'd it come from? It come from that spring, because there's nothing above it but just a big old slope going up to a couple of houses, but there's a couple of indentions in that hill. And that's where what? That pressurized water from way down deep inside is pushing between something, a rock or a root or something, is pushing right through between that, and it's running through there. Doesn't take anybody. You don't have to have a pump.
Right.
It just runs by itself. And that's why Brother Bram looked at that stream. He said, why do you do that? You feed it so you can cool the deer down so I can take a drink? Nope. No. He said, if the spring could have spoke, what would it say? There's something down inside of me that's pushing that water up out of the ground. That's my question to you. Is there something inside of you pushing this word out of this ground? Listen, folks, we can't be dilatory anymore. We've played around with this thing long enough. You either got to get excited or you're going to get left. And I don't mean excited like shouting and running up and all the aisles. You got to get excited about the Word of God. Amen. You know what? People will know if you get excited. Especially some of you that hadn't moved in years. Yeah, I believe in emotion. Sorry. What does a baby do when it comes out of the womb? No. Screams. Let that, where's the, oh, she's asleep. Your niece. She'll scream for you if you need it. She ain't been quiet a day in her life. Isn't that right, Sandra? And that's okay. Listen, I'd rather her scream and keep everybody awake. Praise the Lord anyhow. Now, when the deep calls to the deep, look, before there can be a deep call, there had to be a deep to respond. In other words, there had to be water. There had to be water under pressure before that could be pushed out of the ground, and then it just flow and be the prettiest white, I mean not white, but the purest clear water you ever seen. comes from a spring. There's a river of life flowing out. A pure stream of water are the word of God. Before there can be a deep call, there has to be a deep to respond to it. As Brother Ram said many times, and you hear him, he said, "There's got which one came first, the fish or the water? If the fish came first, he just flops and dies. But the water came first. Because God knew the fish would need the water. So he knew we'd need the word of God. He didn't just throw us out there and say, here, fight for yourself. No, he's right there fighting with us every time, every day. We just deny. Come on. We just deny we need help. Amen. We're in denial. And denial is a river. Think about that for a minute. It is. There was something in there called out for more of God. You might have been living in a justified state before God, but you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you hungered for it. The very reason that there is a Holy Spirit is because you're hungering for it. The very reason that Peter stood up and said, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. He wanted us to be, as Brother Ram said, a powerhouse. Yes. A powerhouse in this world, in this dark world. I read it to you. He put us in the darkest place that he could put us. You, me, because he knew somebody would overcome. Somebody would make it. I'm just dumb enough to believe it's me and y'all.
Amen.
Let's go on down a little bit further. And as I said this morning, there's nothing of such prevailing power as a revelation of the word. Like I said this morning, there's been enough revelation preached in this building for us to take a rapture. What are we doing with it, though? Oh, we lay out of church. We sleep during church. We have issues. We all going to have issues. We all going to have problems. But when are we going to realize that this is better than anything out there? This is going to sustain you where that out there won't. If you think your job is, God's going to take it away from you. You know what? That's, if you're a child of God, ain't that what Brother Ram said? Right. And I'll tell you in my own words, you think so much of your job and your car and your whatever it is, God's going to take it away from you if you're a child of God. Because he's not going to put anything in your way for you to become a child of God. All right? But if not, we'll just die where we're at. So there's nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the Word of God. Ephesians 1:17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That just kind of puts all that together. Look, the eyes of your understanding, not the eyes of your body.
Right.
My eyes are going bad. Some of y'all wear glasses that you didn't wear them before. Some of you are going up here going, not them eyes, but the eyes of your understanding. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Not the eyes of my physical. The eyes of my physical will get me in trouble. But not the eyes of your understanding. Being enlightened. Look, that you may know. I want to ask you a question. Ask yourself during the week. Do I know who I am? Do I know what I'm doing here? Do I know why I'm a preacher? Do I know why I'm a deacon? Do I know why I'm a lay person? Do I know why? Why do I come to church? Why do I take communion? Why do I live above what everybody else lives?
Right.
I'll tell you something. Everybody thinks this is rules and regulations and I harp on coming to church. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I'm telling you what Brother Bram says. See, that's what I mean. Y'all got your favorite quotes. Ooh, glory to God. Brother Bram said, he also said, you can't wait till them doors get open. See, we don't want them. That cuts. But it don't cut me. You know, about 20 years ago, I guess, when I quit drinking. Yeah, I did. Sorry. 22 years ago, when we were out in the world, Brother George, the law of if you had one of those breathalyzer things. If you blew it, started out a long time ago, they wouldn't even have one of them. They'd just take you home. Well, then they said, no, there's too many people dying of drinking alcohol in car wrecks. So we're going to put a limit on it. And it's 1.0. If you blow in this little thing and it's 1.0, you're going to jail. All the people screamed. Then it come up to about 10 years later from that. They said, no, it needs to be 0.08. All the people were screaming about that. Then it got to point, and it's 0.06 or something now. Don't even know. But if it went to 0.06, are we going to have a sermon about this? Are we going to sit at home and go, oh, my God, I don't know how I can live. It don't matter if it's 0.00. If you don't drink, that law does not apply to you. That's the same way with sin. If you don't do it, the law doesn't apply to you. There's not a day I don't want to come to church. Now listen, there's time when we have jobs. I know that. There's time when we have things that we have to do. Take a vacation. That's fine. But not 50 of 52. Maybe 2 of 52. But not 50 of 52. See what I mean? So I don't want to be so dogmatic. If you miss a Sunday, if you want to go on vacation, if that's your travel day, I've done it before. Okay? But then 2 Sundays later, and then the 3rd Sunday after that, and then the 4th Sunday after that. You'd be surprised if you kept it on the calendar how many times you got here and how many times you didn't. But see, I don't have to worry about that. I do not have a calendar that says the days I go to church and the days I don't. Because I go to church. That make me better than you? No. No, that law that God set, not forsaking assembling yourself together, that don't apply to me. Because I do it because I love Him. You ought to think about that sometime. I do it because I love Him. I don't do it because I have. What, Brother Dale, listen, there's been times. He's my daddy. I've known him longer than y'all have. Yeah. But there's been days he has not wanted to come to church. There's days he did not want to preach a sermon in this pulpit. Right. Because of sickness, because of heartache, because of y'all. Yeah. And us, me. I'm talking about y'all. I'm talking about all of us. But did he ever miss? Heavenly days? No, he didn't miss. Like the old joke about the, you know, the wife said, honey, we need to get him to go to church. He said, I ain't going to church today. She said, you got to go to church. He said, I ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites go to that church. He said, I ain't going. She said, honey, you got to get him to go to church. He said, I ain't going. None of them people, they I don't like none of them. They don't like me either. She said, honey, you got to go. You're the pastor. But do you think every day's roses? Puffy clouds? No. But he that overcometh, amen, will I grant. Amen. Yeah, now see, there's a promise. Amen. The promise in the Bible. Not that I'm going to dump you in here, but you're going to overcome whatever it is out there in the world. Amen. Well, here I go again. Amen. But I want us to be the true church. I don't want us to be somebody that just halfway does stuff. None of us. I don't want to believe that quote Brother Brown said there's make believers, unbelievers, and true believers in every crowd. Especially when it gets down to on Wednesday night where there ain't but about 20 of y'all here. We got to looking around. Right. Praise the Lord anyhow. There's another one of them quotes we don't like, especially when the congregation gets lower and lower and lower. Now, it doesn't matter with several hundred people here. Well, it's like, well, it's them. No, it's probably you. But Christ in the true church. Now look, true church. So there's a false church, right? Remember we talking about the two vines, or the two churches. We're talking about the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. But Brother Brown said their vines were intertwined. You couldn't really tell the difference. Because, well, listen, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a religious tree. Yeah, that's right. Amen. It come from Satan, who is way more anointed than some of us are. Right. He was anointed before we was. On earth. I didn't say in heaven. I said on earth. But there's a true church. And I'm going to contend. I'm going to fight for that. To find that true church. You need to fight for that true church. You need to find that true church. Not just a. Hey, listen. Not walls. Not walls. Not walls and ceilings. You got to find a true church in here. You say, well, then, brother, I can sit at home. you've not found that true church. Because you got to put all the scriptures together. Can't do away with these over here. Okay? Just because that law is in force of the drinking alcohol, it's still there in case you slip up. Hello, somebody. All right? But for us that don't drink, what does it matter? You see what I mean? That's the way I look at the Word of God. If you do what the Word of God says, the best you can, I mean the best you can, the best you can, then that do's and don't stuff doesn't apply to you and me. If you do it out of a heart that loves Him, that deep is a love that no one ever knows. Listen, I love June with all my heart. But if she decided to leave this message and go somewhere else, I'm staying right here. Because this is where the deep calls from. We see the people leaving the message like crazy now. Why? There was no deep. There was no new birth to respond to the preaching. Oh, he wanted to find this over here, and there wasn't this over here. Brother Brown missed it here. This one missed it here. This one missed it here. Well, you can pick all you want to. But Christ in the true church is what? A continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit, now that's what we're dealing with now. And let me tell you, let me make a point here. The reason I've been reading this, and I hadn't said what this was, but the reason I've been reading this one quote is that Antichrist spirit is right there. The opposite of that. Oh, God, listen. The devil wants you to have virtue. He wants you to have a little bit of power that he gives you. Oh, he surely wants you to have knowledge. Sure he does. But you got to be able to discern whether it's his knowledge or God's knowledge. You got to discern whether it's the temperance that God give you, where God himself could walk into a sanctuary and he could plait a rope. And he can make a plan of what he's fixing to do. And he drives them jokers out of that temple. But he did one thing me and you can't do. He went and died for them. Even though he drove them out, he went and died for them. Can you do that? No, bless God. Anyway. The Antichrist is going to what? Come into the church. Make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, reveals his work. That's what we're doing now. That's why a lot of times you don't need discernment in a church service. Daddy will tell you and all the other ministers will tell you. You don't need discernment because you can see the demon in your face. Mine too. Demons bother you? Right now. Right now. Listen, if he can look right there, if he can discredit God's word, where does he need to start at? Right here. He needs to start right here. If he's going to discredit the word of God, if he discredits this ministry, then he's got all of you. Just one big, he's got 100 people or 80 people. That's why money, women, and popularity. Brother Brown said the three things that'll do a preacher in. Money, women, and popularity would stay away from it. But the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire, he fights it. He's fighting now. He knows that the people get the true revelation of the true church. All right, you got to know there's a false and a true. And they're sitting in every congregation. And what she is and what she stands for. You got to make a public announcement. I am standing for the Word of God. And that public statement is made known because you don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't chew. You don't curse. Your sisters don't cut your hair. There's your declaration that God's Word's right. What she stands for and that she can do the greater work, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit, discern. That's why knowledge is discernment. You got to know. That's why brothers tell you, they'll tell me many, many times, they love preaching here. Some don't. Some do. Most do because there's not a pushback. When they make a statement, listen, you go to another church. Well, some of you are not preachers, but if we go to another church and we preach, we hit a point. And when we hit that point, you just put it in brackets. They're all shaking their head. You put that point right here. It's just soon you read the headlines of the newspaper and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Because you got to back up and explain what you just said. Because you feel that pushback. Or you preach something like, as Daniel 70 weeks, something a little controversial, something a little deep. You really get a, you get a real, you know, you get a pushback. You kind of hit a wall. Well, that's the Spirit of God discerning, I'm sorry, discerning that they don't know what they think they know. And not that you're some, you know, don't let our heads swell. But like I said before, we've been taught in this church. Taught. And when you try to take teaching to another place and they're not used to it, it really shuts them down. Amen? Aaron? Bob? Luis? Dad? Yeah. All of you. We know that for a fact. And I'm not making anything out of it as far as us, but it's a discernment that we go through. It's the knowledge of God that we know what we're talking about. I'm sorry. We do. Because we've been taught well. And we can discern. You can discern. And withstand the Antichrist spirit. Because what is an Antichrist spirit? It's not out there. Anything against the Word of God is anti. Anything against the Word of God is anti. So it's Antichrist. Anti-anointed spirit. But look, if we can see that and overcome it, Satan will be powerless. Do you believe what Brother Burnham says? She'll be, he'll be powerless before her. Listen, in the Garden of Eden, Satan walks up in the form of the beast, and by his subtlety, he overpowers the bride of Adam. He overpowers her with his influence, with his spirit, with his lust and his and all the things, and she falls for it. She falls for it. And Adam couldn't save her because he's not a savior. So he took her and said, I'll take her sin. We're going to live this way. God said, I'll put enmity. I'm going to put a division here, but I'm going to come back. And I'll make sure that this next bride is not going to fall. We read it this morning. I'll read it again. Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Not revelation, just what we get in this building. If it's really revealed to you, it's like Brother Dale's always said, how can you talk somebody out of a revelation? If it's a real one, it becomes a part of you. Just like your hand, your finger, you can't deny it once you get a revelation. How in the world is somebody going to talk you out of water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? They can't. But they'll try. But look, the gates of hell will not prevail against us, the bride. But we will prevail over them. Here's right here. Why? What would God call a people out of this evil age for? His name. The reason it is to try her. His bride. When she is made manifest, been tried, been proven. Proved to who? Not to the world. To the devil himself. Like it was at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. As a seed starts in the ground, it comes up through carriers, life. But it ends up the same seed as it was when it went in the ground. And the same way the seed, now who's he talking about? Jesus Christ said, I've got to go in the ground. I got to die alone that I can bring up more fruit. Then what do? We don't bring up, we bring up stalk, yes. We bring up tassel. We bring up shuck. But there's seed coming back. Because the seed is the multiplier. Amen. Everybody with me? The seed is the multiplier. The shuck's not the multiplier. You can't plant a stalk and get another ear of corn. You got to plant corn seed to get an ear of corn. But it's got to go through those stages. But it's got to be seed form. That's why, Brother Branham, the spoken word is the original seed. Amen? Seed shall not be heir with the shuck. Oh my. Seed of discrepancy. I know a lot of people talk about seed being this and that and the other, but I believe there's true seed. And it's been planted. All right? You didn't get it when you had the baby. Your wife wasn't pregnant when she was born. She had to receive seed. The same way the seed of deceit fell in the ground in Eden is the same way it ends up in the last days. Just as the gospel was when it fell to a denomination at Nicaea, it ends up in a super organization. Just as the seed of the church fell back there with signs, wonders, and the living Christ among them, it ends up in the last days under the ministry of Malachi 4 and restores back again. What's Brother Bram talking about? Those first three church ages, they had all the gifts working in their life. They didn't have any denominations. They didn't have any Trinitarian. They didn't have a First Trinity Church on every corner. They didn't have a Baptist on every corner. Presbyterian. No, it was the true word of God. But they lost it. They fell back there. Had signs and wonders. So the ministry of Malachi 4 had to restore that back. The original faith that was once given. We find now this evil age is to prove to Satan she's not like Eve. That she's not that type of a woman. And she will be tried by his word. The bride, as Adam's bride, was tried by the word. Remember, she missed it on one phrase. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But she failed on one promise under the temptation of the enemy face to face. And now the people that's called for his name, of course, is his bride. She is to come in contact. Oh, praise God. How many is glad they come in contact with the word of God? I mean, I am glad we come in contact with the word of God and this message, which is the word of God. Not by just denominational truth, but every word. And as we were talking this morning, I want God to be proud of us. I want our Father to be proud of us. Amen. How's he going to be proud of you if you don't do what he says? Ain't going to happen. So we got to go through virtue, knowledge, and get into temperance. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and patience godliness. The Greek lexicon for temperance is what? Self-control. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetite. Strong or robust, having power over, possessed of. Now look, what was virtue? Virtue was having power. Now you got to learn to control it. See, every one of these virtues are exactly where they're supposed to be. You got to have virtue before you can give it. So you got to have power, but power without character is satanic, the prophet said. So now we come up to knowledge, the knowledge to know where to find out how to get rid of whatever we need to get rid of. And then temperance, to have power over not using that power in the wrong way. I mean, how many of you? No, I'm not going to ask. If you could get rid of somebody in your life, you would. I ain't talking about killing them or murder them. I'm talking about just get rid of them. Just never have to deal with them again. Well, you ain't got the temperance yet. You need some work. Because what does temperance do? It masters. Brother Brown, I'm going to read you in a few minutes. It masters all circumstances. Amen. Curbing, restraining, controlling oneself, temperate, continent. Didn't the Bible tell us we'd be incontinent? You know what continent and incontinent is, don't you? Being able to hold yourself. Continent, incontinent, you can't hold yourself. As we get older, we should know that. Yeah. Temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol either. No, no. Temperance doesn't mean alcohol is cured. Not in this case. This is Bible temperance, Holy Spirit temperance. So he's connecting the two together. Holy Spirit temperance, not temperance out there in the world to quit drinking. Listen, if you're not drinking, you don't need that kind of temperance. Right? I do not have to control myself with a drinking problem, you know, having a drinking problem. Right. I'm over that. I'm done with that. Yeah. All right? So what's that temperance talking about? Controlling me in every other way. Amen. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh, but we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your... I'm going to stop and drink some water right here. Now let's read that again. How to control your tongue. Not be a tattler. Everybody's got to know everything. Just put it on Facebook. How to control your temper. Not fly off every time somebody speaks cross to you. Help me, Lord. Boy, a lot of us are going to fall off before we get started. Now, Brother Branham must know something about that. Aren't we? Then we wonder why God is not in his church. Oh, no, it's because Joyce won't get right. How many times, Brother Dale? Many. It's just because. Now, if Brother Dale would get back right, if everything's right, we'd be out of here. Now, let's work on us first. I ain't as right as I want to be, but I'm more right than I used to be. Same way with each one of us. I believe we've grown this past year. I believe a lot of people have really, really grown and showed that they want to. Like I said before, that deep's got a call to want to go up that statue of perfect man. That deep wants to make that we get better. Not better people, better Christians. Boy, a lot of us are going to fall off before we get started, aren't we? Then we wonder why God is not in his church. So how important is these virtues? Then we wonder why God is not in his church doing miracles and things that they used to do. That's why we lost those virtues from the first church to right now. That's why it took a prophet to preach in 1962 in October the stature of a perfect man. Why didn't he preach it in 1957? Why didn't he preach it in 1947? Why didn't he preach it in 1960? Wasn't ready for it. Didn't have all the virtues in line, maybe. I know he didn't when he was a kid. Remember, he would have been a murderer, and he'd have committed suicide twice. We can go on and on. Everybody with me? Okay? And I'm telling you not stories. I'm telling you stories he told. It's on tape. And it's his voice. He told us he was going to commit suicide. He told us he was going to grab that wire. Right? He told us he loaded that gun to shoot them boys with. He told us he was going to take that whoever killed his dog and he's going to kill them. Wow. And we follow this man? Yeah. Because he's human. And he had a gift. Add temperance to it. Oh, temperance, how to answer, look, in kindness when wrath is spoke to you. Somebody says, you bunch of holy rollers down there, don't jump up and run and pull your sleeve, roll your sleeve up. See? Not that. Remember, Brother Brown did the same thing. Remember the teacher told him to put the little string around his tie 10 knots or count to 10 or whatever it was. Said he got to about 3, throwed it down, rolled his sleeves up, and went to whipping them boys. Or they went to whipping him, one of the two. Yeah. Oh, the prophet? Yep. Right. But later on, he told that guy that's fixing to break his face in. He said, no, that ain't happening tonight. What did he say? He said, something. Something deep came up. And he said, I felt sorry for that person. I didn't want to kill him. Two people up in the balcony, a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, making love in the congregation during the service. Brother Brown told him, stop that. Well, what would me and you have done? Yeah. The Holy Spirit said, whatever you say, that's what will happen. And with eyes that may have looked like a little bit, maybe he was mad at one time because they were desecrating the house of God. He said, I forgive you. He said, they could have carried them out in a stretcher dead if I'd have said it. He said, but I prayed for their soul. I looked at the soul of those people and knew they need to be saved. The same way Brother Dale's looked at all of us. We go through all this junk that we go through. He's looking at your soul. He's not looking at you. All right? Praise God. Don't jump out and roll up your sleeve. Now, not that. That talk with godly love, temperance, kindness. Is that the way you want to be, congregation says? Amen. When you're riled up. Now, it didn't say you'll never get riled up. See how that's written? When you're riled up, rile not back. Let him be your example. I don't think Brother Brown knew anything about road rage, but the devil of that road rage was there at that time. It's just manifested itself now because every time somebody passed me the other day, I mean, he was flying, passed on a double yellow line, and praise God. For stop signs. the great equalizer in the traffic light. Because he's like got caught in the light going up here in Rabbit Town. He got caught in that light. He couldn't get under it. He got caught in that light, and I pulled it right behind him. I just smiled away. I said, you just wasted $20 worth of gas just to get 22 feet in front of me. So anyway, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He could have done it. See, there's a power inside of us that can do these things. Everybody with me? There's a power inside of you to create a world and go live on it. But why would we want to do that now? We're here to save, get souls saved. We're here to manifest the Word of God. Oh, it'd be real easy. Listen, Brother Branham was full of these quirks and all. He said, Lord, I just want to go up in the highest mountain. Remember? Storm down like Elijah and just, you know, and go right back up. And he said, no, you're a people person. You're a people prophet. The people. You have to live with your people. And I love what one brother was saying the other day. A shepherd's got to smell like a sheep. The good and the bad. Think about that. If a new shepherd comes in, the sheep are like, that ain't our shepherd. No. Because he hadn't lived with them. You got to live with your people. So you know what? Jesus Christ took on our smell. The odor of death, the odor of sin, he took that on us, on him, from us. And now he's the great shepherd. That though you may stink like sin every once in a while, even after you're born again, he's still the shepherd standing right there with you with one of those shepherd hooks of love. Not a fish hook, a shepherd hook. When they called him Beelzebub, he said, I'll forgive you for that. They pulled handful of beard out of his face and spit in his face. Said, come down off the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. When he had the gift, he knowed all things. For in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They had seen him perform miracles by telling people what was wrong with him and so forth. They put a rag around his head and around his eyes and hit him on the head and said, prophesy, tell us who hit you. We'll believe you. See, he had temperance. Now, if you got it like that, add that to your faith. If you still blow up and sass and fuss and stew and carry on, you ain't got no, you can't add that because it won't add. It won't vulcanize. You couldn't take a piece of rubber, you know, and vulcanize it to a piece of iron. It just won't work. No, it's got to be flexible. Didn't God tell us he put a heart of flesh inside of us and take the heart of stone out? Because stone, hard, flesh is pliable. Rubber's pliable. You know, vulcanize it to a piece of iron, you can't do that. It just won't work. Now, it's got to be flexible, just like the rubber is. And when your faith and your temperance, looks, becomes the same kind of Holy Ghost temperance that he had, then it will vulcanize with him. You're added to it. Let's keep reading just for a second, and then we'll take communion. When your knowledge is like his knowledge, I come to do thy will, O God. See, with the Father's word, he defeated every devil. Right. With the Father's word, he defeated every devil. Heavens and earth will pass away, but the word will not. See, when you got that kind of knowledge, it'll vulcanize with your faith. When you get the right kind of temperance like he had, it'll vulcanize. If you hadn't, just a man-made, halfway, soused up, most of y'all know what that means. You're in this from the South, you should know it. Soused up belief or temperance. Oh, I ought to slap him down, but maybe better not, because they might put my name in the paper. Or Facebook. Or Instagram. Or Twitter. Those of you that don't know that, Luis does, ask him. Netflix. No, they won't put you on Netflix, I guess. They won't do that. You're not that famous. Because they might put your name in the paper about it. That ain't the kind of temperance he's talking about. Because you know, one time back in the Old Testament, There was a prophet of God. He was walking down a road, and a bunch of children came up to him and started harassing him. Start calling him names. See, we hate it. You can do a lot of things, but don't call me a name. Because I take that personal. You're talking to me. Don't do that to me. You talking about me? You talking about me? Yeah, I'm talking about you. But what happened? There was no love in that prophet's eyes as far as agape love. He turned and looked at him and he said, in other words, curse you. And two big grizzly bears, ate those or killed those 40 kids. He didn't have temperance. He didn't have Holy Ghost temperance because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. But me and you got, what would we do if somebody kept harassing us and telling us? Just same way with all of us. If we keep hammering on something, like coming to church and different things, if y'all could call two she-bears out of the woods, you would. I know what most people do. They want you to shut up. If you start digging into their demons, you say, oh, that's never happened. How many times you got people, if Donnie was here, his dad, Brother Tom, bless his heart, he tried his best. But sometimes he was the two she-bears. And he was a little over, y'all know, if everybody knows him, they chuckle and they laugh. That's just the way Brother Tom was. But he didn't have a lot of temperance for people that didn't like the Word of God. Okay? He didn't. He'll tell you, if he's sitting here today, he'll tell you. But you know what? He's on the other side. He ain't got to worry about that no more. Because remember, that has an end. That had an expiration date. The day he passed from this life into the other life, he ain't got to worry about that no more. He ain't got to worry about hurting people's feelings. But Brother Tom, buddy, I'm telling you, if he started digging into you, it was like them claws were going. And it was done with love. Okay? But you didn't want to be around him. Anna? Sister? Me either. He'd come at you. I mean, if it's such thing as a four-barrel gun, he would have had all four of them pointed at you. I mean, it's like, and it wasn't pointed at you. You had them right here. But he was doing it out of love. He was trying his best to get you to see the Word of God like he could see it. His zeal was overwhelming. And you know what happened? I didn't want to be around him. I see him over there. How many people? Never mind. I ain't going to jump in y'all's life. You ever seen somebody you did not want to be around? That's why when you look at somebody that's got temperance like Brother Branham did, he didn't avoid nobody. He knew they hated him. He knew they wanted to destroy him religiously or in that realm. Discredit him. And they're doing it now. But he knew they were discrediting him, and he didn't know. You didn't know as an outsider. You never knew who he liked and didn't like. Isn't that what Billy Paul said? He said, that was one great thing my daddy had. You couldn't tell who was his enemies and who was his friends. He just brought them all, drew the circle bigger, and just grabbed big old bear hugs and started pulling them in. We don't do that. We got our favorites, and you let it know. I like that person. I like that person. I like that person. I like that. I don't like that person. I like that person over there. I like that one. Now I like him. Now I like her. I don't like that one over there. Do you like that one? No, I don't like that one. But when you can really, with the sweetness from your heart, forgive every man. We still believe Brother Brown was a prophet, right? I'm reading a quote. Hold your peace. Let it be gone. See, then it'll vulcanize. You can add that to your faith. Amen. Now, remember I read you this, and we'll read it again for those of you that weren't here. The impact of vulcanization on rubber. Science Direct, it must be true, it's on from the internet, explains that vulcanization changes the physical properties of rubber by forcing it to retract. Today, we are rubber. All right? Of course, there are mechanical methods that can force rubber to retract as well. The difference with vulcanization, however, is that it retains the original shape of the rubber. When vulcanization is performed on rubber, the rubber shrinks while retaining its original shape. May I shrink and let God raise up. Vulcanization essentially scales down rubber to a smaller size. Make me small, Lord. All without deforming or altering its shape. In addition to altering its size while retaining its shape, vulcanization also protects rubber from future deformation. Praise God. Amen. Praise God! Amen. I don't want to be deformed in the future. If it's done right, it won't. As it shrinks, rubber hardens and becomes less vulnerable to deformation. It may still deform when exposed to enough stress. Can everybody raise a hand on that one? Yep, we had stress. We got it. Okay. But remember, when you put stress on rubber, what does it do? It just, when you let go of it, it just snaps right back into place again. You ought to try that sometime. Let some of your stress go and let it snap back in place. But vulcanized rubber won't deform as easily as conventional non-vulcanized rubber. Rubber also becomes harder when vulcanized, which subsequently increases its tensile strength. As we receive these virtues, God's vulcanizing them to us if we do it right. And we become what? Weaker? We become stronger. Amen? That's what it says. We become stronger by the vulcanization process. It's tensile strength and reduces the risk of physical damage. Unlike with thermoplastic chemical process, the effect of vulcanization are permanent. Praise God. After a rubber object or material has been vulcanized, it can't be reversed. Once you get temperance, and that vulcanizes to your soul, and it's godly temperance, you cannot lose that. Just like you cannot lose your new birth. It can't be reversed. So no devil, no spirit, evil, can go in there and play with it and then pull it apart. If it's been vulcanized, and what is the vulcanization process? Heat. Heat. It'll heat and meld together and be twice as strong. May God do that to each and every one of us. May He put us in that fiery furnace. Oh, I don't want to go in the fiery furnace. Lord, put me in there. Put me in that fiery furnace, because you know what? I know what's going to happen. There's going to be a fourth man stand up. There's going to be somebody appear that's going to help me in that fiery furnace. And I'm going to come out not smelling like smoke, but be with that fourth man that's in the fire. Let's stand our feet. We'll start on patience next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. Now as we, Lord, stand at attention, and Lord, we come here with hungry hearts, Lord, to take communion and Lord, be able to commune with you closer. Lord, I don't want to feel like I have to run away from you. The prophet of God preached a sermon, running from the presence of the Lord. And many prophets have done that in the past. Many men, many great men, have tried to hide themselves. Gideon and all the different ones have tried to hide from the presence of the Lord because there's a reverence there. There's an anointing. But Lord God, you told us that we need to come boldly to that throne. We need to ask and receive what we ask for. Lord, so we come boldly today, Lord. And if there be anybody here in the sound of my voice, whether it's on internet or here, that needs healing, Father, I pray that the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ will take over. And will, Lord, show us your power by that great healing anointing. Can't take it out of the church. It's still there. Satan, you don't have any clue about healing. You always want us to be, as Brother Joel says, wowsy, wowsy, woo. But Lord, I pray that you'd bind Satan. Every time that he wants to do that, Lord, I pray you'd bind him. And that we can take positive to the Lord Jesus and let him take that petition to you, Father. And Lord, come boldly to the throne and hand that petition to our high priest, who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. That, Lord, we not be negative. That we not say negative things, Lord. That we'll say things that are positive. That, Lord, if we need something, we'll stand up and say, Lord, I need you. I need you to save my children. I need you, Lord, to help me with my finances. Lord, I need you to help me with my spiritual walk. And, Lord, we come boldly to that. Not hiding behind a tree or behind a bush. But, Lord, you're our Father. And as the Bible says, what father would not give a son that's hungry a piece of bread, but give him a rock? Lord, you're not that way. Satan is, but you're not. Lord, we have not because we ask not. So, Lord, I pray that you'd be with this congregation, Lord. May through this week and coming on into the next couple of weeks, Lord, as Brother Jack's getting ready to come, Lord, and Brother Reyes behind him, Lord, that you'd give us a fervor, Lord, a fresh anointing. That, Lord, as the anointing of a revival is falling, even on the denominational world there in Kentucky, Lord, thank you for that. It's helping the people. But Father, we're your bride. And we call out for our bridegroom to come on the scene and give us the things that we need. Father, forgive us of our sins and our mistakes that we make. And the many little idiosyncrasies that we have issues with, Lord, I pray that you'd take those out of the way. Lord, that we might not be bound by the, as we was talking about, the laws of the alcohol, different things. We're free. We're free from the law of sin and death. Lord, but we bind ourselves. And I pray that you'd bring us out from under that. Lord, let the deep call to the deep. Let us hear from you, Lord. Let us take you, Lord, and not the world. Let us take you and not our negative thoughts and our negative ideas. We don't like this one, and we don't like that one, and we don't like this way, and we don't like that way. Lord, I pray that you'd take the eye salve of the Holy Ghost. And that you would soothe us with that ointment. Lord, may the oil has run down Aaron's head to his neck, his face, shoulders, all the way down his body. He was just totally anointed with that oil of the natural. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint us with the oil of the spiritual, Father. That you would give us spiritual revelation, spiritual insight. Lord, let us become more spiritual people from the front to the back. Lord, just bless us now as we get ready to take this communion, Father. We ask your blessings, Lord, on the people that are sick, the ones that are sin sick, Lord, the ones that are backslid. Lord, they're all here. And now we pray, Lord, that you would just be with them, Lord. Raise them up for your honor and glory, Lord. Let them be manifestations of sons of God, not manifestations of the devil. Father, let us, Lord, be in your control. As the song says, you've got it all in control. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Bless each one that's here. Lord, may as we take this communion that we'll remember that one evening when you took the bread and wine and you said, this is a new testament. The testator has to die to make a new testament. And Lord, we live under that new testament in your blood. And we take your body as the stripes were laid for us to be healed. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for placing your own life inside of us. There's many people, billions of people in this world that need that, Lord. There's people in this congregation that needs it, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would minister to them, Lord. Not just here in this building, but everywhere they go. Let it not leave them. Let it just gnaw at them. Let them, Lord, not sleep at night until they hear from you, Lord. Until they find the real peace. The real peacemaker. The real joy maker. The real Jehovah Jireh. Our provider. And all the other compound names of Jehovah. Lord, we appreciate all those titles. But we know you as husband. We're Mrs. Jesus Christ. And I pray that we begin to act like that, Lord. And we'll not make you ashamed, that you'll be proud of us. I believe in John 17, you were proud of a group of people. Because you asked the Father to protect us while we were here. And Lord, that protection comes from an eternal God that created the whole world. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the eyes of our spiritual realm have been enlightened. We see revelation that others cannot see. It's become a mystery to the world, but it's, as the prophet said, the mystery is now history. We don't need the revelation of the serpent seed. We have it. We don't need the revelation of water baptism. We have it. And Lord, may we use it now. Lord, may we take these things that we preach, and Lord, may it go to each one of our hearts. And that you'll settle us and ground us in the Word of God. It's tough, Lord. You know that. You were here. There were many times you had such an anointing on you, but the people didn't believe in you, so you had to leave the room. Or you had to tell the people to leave so that you could heal and raise Jairus' daughter. So, Lord, let those people not be here, those spirits, Lord. May we not be bound. May we be able to preach freely. May we be able to receive freely. Freely receive from the Word of God. Freely receive all the promises of God. All the things that you've given us already in the Bible. There has not to be another Bible be written. It's already here. We just got to do what it says. Father, just bless us now in the furtherment of this service as we take communion. Bind our hearts together in you, Lord. Let there not be any root of bitterness or guile or anything like that, Lord, that will separate us from you or even from each other. May we bind together, Lord, as a church around our pastor, Lord, and pray for him as every day we pray for a healing of his body. Lord, but we also pray for spiritual healing of all of our bodies, that we'll become to that stature of perfect man. Somebody that you're proud of. Somebody that you can be so proud of, you can say, "Hey, devil, have you considered Spoken Word Church?" Oh, you got a hedge around them. You, man, they've been given the word. Well, that's okay. Go ahead. Do what you want to. But you can't take their life. And when Job came out of the end of this thing, guess what? He was twice the man he was before. I pray that we become twice the man, because you restored everything to him twice, is what you said. Lord, I pray that you'll give us, Lord, a blessing from heaven that we can't contain. May this year be a supernatural year for us, Lord. May it be a time that we learn more from you. We learn how to be like you. We learn how to act like you act. We learn how to do the things that you did. I believe if we are believing that we are Christians, that that's got to happen. Because that deep calls into my heart for every person to be able to stand on their own and have their own experience with God and their own virtue and their own knowledge, their own temperance. And go through trials, Lord, and not be that they have to run and cry and try to find the preacher or the pastor. That, Lord, you'll help them to grow into individuals with God. And that they can speak the word just like any of us speak the word, Lord. And that Satan will have to back up. You're defeated, devil. You just don't know it yet. These people know that. And Lord, we're going to thrive on that, because it's a revelation that you can't get. Yes. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we take communion. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody have a need or anything before we head into the communion and foot washing? We appreciate each and every one of you. We appreciate the Lord giving us strength and giving us an opportunity to speak, whether it's of God or not. You got to decide whether it's worth it or not. Some people, it's not worth it. Some people would rather drink a beer and go to church. I was one of them. Okay? I was one of them. So don't tell me that spirit don't get on us all. But if you're born again, that spirit's gone. You want to be here in church. Or be around the bride. I like being around the bride. I don't like being around the world. Do you? I'll be glad when this thing is over. I'll be glad when, I was talking about when this all has an expiration date. This part has an expiration date. God does not have one. And this world won't have one either. If you'll realize what the Bible says, that it's just going to burn it over, it's going to still be here. Just like he burnt you over, and you're still going to be here. Then we're going to come and live right here. You know why? Because we weren't born on the moon. We weren't born on Mars. Well, somebody may say we were, but where are you from? I was born on this earth. I was born on this earth from this earth. Right? So we have that connection. And God so much thought of that, he said, okay, I'll put you back down there. Because remember what when Brother Brandon went across the curtain of time? He was just astonished when they said, we don't eat over here. We don't have our regular bodies. We got to go back to earth. What? He looks back and sees his, he said he sees his old decrepit body laying there. He said, I don't want to go back to that. In other words, they said, look, we don't eat or drink here. In other words, they're not complete humans. They knew they had to come back and pick up their earthly bodies. That's how much God thinks of me and you. He preserves this earth, burns it off, takes care of all the sin, burns it off, and lets us live here for an eternity. And just enjoy God. There's no way we can do it because we're creatures of time. We're creatures of heartaches and trials and tribulations. But folks, it'll be over not too long. Let's read. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In other words, a New Testament was coming. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup and he supped it, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's why Brother Brown says only Christians should take communion. Right? If you have an ought against somebody, say, God, I'll take care of it, but I'm going to take communion. I feel good taking it now. I'm okay, but you better go take care of what you need to take care of. Because you're going to eat and drink damnation if you don't have a revelation about what's going on here. All right? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Who is the Lord's body? Me and you. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Now Jesus has made his statement, and Paul is now interpolating. If you look at your Bible, what Jesus said is in red. The rest of it is Paul explaining why Jesus said what he did. All right? For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Paul could observe that people were taking communion they weren't supposed to, and they were dying, or they were getting sick, or there was problems. I'm just reading the Bible. Because that was his observation. It wasn't that he got this revelation. It was going to happen. It was happening right then. All right. said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order. When I come, he gets up to a group of people in Corinth, and they're drinking their mead and all that stuff and getting drunk at the Lord's table. That's why he had to come and set that down. He said, no. This is a Lord's Supper. This is not your regular meal. You need to keep that separate. This is what we're doing here. This is discerning the body and blood of the Lord right here. It's not that we're just sitting down and calling for a meal. You know, let's just go to, you know, Golden Corral, and that'll be our Lord's Supper. That's kind of what they were doing in Corinthians. But Paul, being a prophet, he comes in. Now, he doesn't, you know, bless God, you all going to hell. No, he just told them what to do. And you know what? I believe they did it. Because some of them got a real good revelation when he said that some of you will sleep, and some of you get sick, and some of you going to die. That really, I mean, well, you know, that went right here. That went right to their soul. But they believe, if they believe what Paul said, so if you believe what the prophet said and you believe what I'm telling you, same way happening here. You got to discern the body of the and blood of the Lord. Why do we have issues and problems? Because we don't do things right. Amen. Brother Dale, come up here and pray for the communion today. Everybody all right? We good with that? I am. So we're going to do it anyway. I miss Brother Dale standing here going, he took bread and blessed it. Yep, there you go. You know what to do.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For the opportunity,
yes, Lord,
to be able to take this communion.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Make it in your honor and your glory. Make it in your ways. Lord, we just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's coming a day when we'll understand this more and more. Because that's what we're going to do at the marriage supper. We're going to take communion. And Jesus so told us, he told us that night right there, he said, I won't do this until I come. I won't do this until I come back. I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine. So he's not up in heaven drinking wine. Or eating unleavened bread. No. You know what he done? He transferred that to us. See, there's so many times that Jesus sanctified himself for me and you, not for himself. Go ahead.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to partake of this wine and the bread, Lord. We know that it has symbolic meanings to it.
Amen.
But they are true meanings. We just ask you to commit everything to you in your ways. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes, amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the ever green tree, I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected. You're gonna be. And I question, O Father, how long? You get a little bit of patience at Mount Calvary. And what? It gives me the strength to go on. Gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, it'll be over with. Won't have to worry about it no more. Brother Brown said 6 to 9 o'clock in the morning sometime when the sun starts coming up, we're going to leave this place. The resurrection is going to happen, and we're going to be out of here. The world will just keep on going, never know a thing about it. Maybe your neighbor will think maybe you went on a vacation or something. Maybe the neighbor thought maybe you got crazy and went up in a mountain somewhere. You know, they think you're crazy anyway. So, you know, you disappeared in one of them camps, one of them fellowship meetings or one of them special meetings that we go to a lot. That's all right. It'll be a special meeting. I'll promise you that. It'll be one like you never had here before. Mono at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk. That'll be a reality. We sing it now, but it'll be a reality one day. And when it becomes a reality, you'll understand and listen to yourself singing this song today. You'll hear it, and you'll say, oh, the toils of life are going to be over. We've come to the end. You love the Lord? This was made with holy hands, and this was made with holy hands. So we're doing exactly what the Bible tells us to do. We didn't buy this, and it's not going to be held over. It's going to be burnt. The wine's going to be put back together, and it's just going to keep getting better and better. It just keeps working all the way through for years. Oh, they think they got vintage wine, several hundred thousand dollars a bottle. Not like this wine. This wine is fixing to go into an eternal vessel. And it's going to become part of us. And then the Lord's going to smile down and said, hey, they're doing what I told them to do. Let's just give them a special blessing today. Let's take communion. You know, I was thinking the other day while they take that up. While they're taking this up, you know, sometimes we stand around and we talk about Brother Gary Adkins and the ones that went on. And I was just kind of trying to remember everybody, you know, the Tatums and Brother Moat. And I'm not finished with my Bible. I need to never put my sword down. And I was thinking about that the other day. Now, whether you think I'm crazy or not, that's all right. But the thought came to me, said, well, when you call their name, said, I just reach over and nudge them and say, hey, they're talking about you. Hey, they're talking about you. So they're over there in just a bliss, you know. They're in just, you know, they're in just a state of euphoria. They're not here going, we might get to the house today. I got to work tomorrow. No, they're waiting on us. They're over there with all the ones that went on with Brother Branham and all the different ones. And we say their name over here. That's all I was doing. I was trying to remember their name, talk to all the different ones. All of us has got somebody that's passed on that we're connected to. All of us. Amen. And the thought came to me, said, when you call their name, said, we just nudge them over there on the other side and say, hey, they're talking about you. You say, oh, that's crazy. I don't think it is. How many times has Brother Brown said, you know, Lord, let them look over the banister of time and look down and see what's going on? I think they do that, especially when we say, talk about Gary, talk about different ones, Brother Richard, Marlo, different ones. See, they're doing it now. Hey, they're talking about you. They haven't forgot you. But you know what I think they're telling the angel to tell back to us? Hurry up! We want to see you again. We want to pick up our bodies, and we want to be humans again. Supper being ended, the devil now having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus said, what I do, thou knowest not now, but probably in just about 11 days you're going to understand what's going on. Day of Pentecost. But thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Talking about Judas. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he took his garment, laid it down. He kind of just, he's a buddy. You know, he just went over there, Brother Jordan, just sat down beside him. Probably in one of those chairs like that after it got finished. Because they're all probably going, what'd he do that for? What'd you do? That's our master. That's our teacher. Peter says, thou art the Son of God. Why are you doing this? And I'm sure that was all in their minds. And he discerned it. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment and sat down, he said, know you what I've done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, in other words, listen, listen, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy. Happy are ye if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. I pray as we go and wash our brothers and sisters' feet, Lord, I pray that you would give us, Lord, a supernatural charge, Lord, that, that we're doing as you told us to do. Wherever the instructions of what you told us to do, Lord, we're going to do today, Father. I pray that you just bless now and be with the ones that are sick that couldn't be here. I know there's many that wants to be here during the foot washing and communion. Lord, I pray that you'd grant their desire, Lord, of their heart. Father, just be with us now as we come up to next week. Lord, Brother Luis will be speaking for us on Wednesday night. We pray that you'd give him, Lord, something for us, Lord. And give us something, Lord, next week. And then the next week, Brother Jack and the different ones coming, Brother Samuel Reyes. Thank you for these brothers that stand, Lord, gallant brothers that stand, Lord, for your word. We pray that you'd be with each one of us here, Lord. Sanctify us for this journey that we're on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sisters, go downstairs.